Thank you for downloading this Finnish Institute of International Affairs recording. You can find more recordings at www.fiia.fi.
Thank you. And okay, I will start with thank you notes myself. So thank you, Kristi, and thank you, Fia, and all our fellow authors. It was a great project, and I'm very happy to see the final product. It is great. Thank you. Also, I think that it's great to see so many of you here today, because I have always thought that post-Soviet space, apart from Russia, has very limited interest in Finland. But I'm very glad to see that that might be changing. Or perhaps it was just the geopolitical or geostrategic in our title. But nevertheless, great to see you here. So my aim today is to sum up some of our conclusions that we made in the report, and in particular I would like to compare and shed some light to the geostrategic tensions between Russia and the EU, whose actornesses are very, very different, and I think that their strategies in the shared neighbourhood is at least partly incompatible. And somehow we still have to learn how to deal with all these tensions and move on. And it is a very, very tricky task, but we will try. Perhaps the first point is that although, of course, the Ukrainian crisis has really brought these tensions to the limelight, the crisis in Ukraine definitely is not one of the root causes, but it's much more like a catalyst or expression of those tensions that have been building up for years already. And now, basically, now that the tensions are so concrete and visible, we have to start dealing with those. We can't sort of pretend that this kind of tensions or confrontations do not exist. We have to deal with them. But let's first look at Russia's take on the region and its sort of logic of action. I think Kristi probably already mentioned some of the key features here, but nevertheless, I think that the very clear starting point, not only recently, but like was also reminded that for a very, very long time, is that that Russia really sees the former Soviet Union as a region, essentially as being its sphere of influence. And this has been stated many, many times in all key documents and statements, so there is nothing new really with this statement. But in practice this means in the region that the sovereignty of the states are somehow deferred to Russia's core political, economic and security interests. And this is a key feature, and this is of course very problematic for all those that believe that state sovereignty should be respected by other actors. And this relative sovereignty thesis in the region, it really applies to allies and defiant, so-called defiant states alike. Like we heard, for example, in the presentation by Andras, that the sovereignty of Belarus is eroding fast. And that is how it is. And then, of course, in Ukraine, it's eroding in a very different fashion. But nevertheless, erosion of state sovereignty is clearly one of the key features of Russian policies in the region. So in a way, the states in the region, they can essentially choose between sort of the nice way of eroding sovereignty that comes with significant subsidies and financial support and of course security guarantees that are very important features for many countries in the region, or you can choose sort of the other way, the more aggressive way that comes with tanks and violence. For example, Ukraine was first kind of going for the first option, and then now it seems that it's more having the sort of the nasty way of erosion of sovereignty. So, this is sort of the bottom line. This kind of logic of action or strategy, it really stems from very old school of power politics and realist reading of geopolitics. It is about zero-sum games, and that's just how it is. When it then comes to the tools and methods of Russian strategy, I think it's very flexible. Here we are not traditional at all. I think it comprises variety of methods: economic, energy ties, compatriot policy, info operations, of course, but also much softer media policies and traditional diplomacy and military action. And this kind of variety of tools, combined with Russia's authoritarian agility, makes it actually very effective strategy or policy in the short run. Because the states in the region are, without actually exceptions, rather weak, it is quite easy to create dependencies and instability. So in the short term, it really is working well. But however, I think in the long run, it could be counterproductive, and it could definitely backfire on Russia. For example, as we have seen in the case of Ukraine and Georgia, it really changes the sort of cost-benefit calculations in the regions more permanently. And perhaps sort of aggressive action is also making the partners of Russia to look towards the other direction. That was very well explained by Andras earlier, that even the allies are looking ways to balance Russia's embrace, I would say. But then let's have a look at EU's positions and strategies in the region. I think traditionally, in this particular region, the EU has attempted to sort of stand away from any confrontation and power politics. It has emphasized kind of positive-sum games and technocratic, emphasizes sort of like the technocratic nature of its policies in the region. And that combined with the lack of very strong leadership has led to this kind of policies that are very difficult to, politics or policies that try to pretend that there is no politics. And this is really a very wrong region to apply that kind of technocratic approach, I think. And although there are very many positive elements, for example, this kind of emphasis on inclusion and cooperation and win-win solutions, one cannot ignore politics, I think. And it's not just about sort of technical cooperation and institutional reforms and so on, but because there are so very strong geopolitical tensions, you somehow have to realize where you are operating. And I think that the Ukrainian crisis is a very good example what kind of bad policy that really is. So it really backfired with the Ukrainian crisis, I think. And you have to have a clearer picture of what kind of processes are going on in the region. And the worst thing, I think, in the EU's policy was really that it left Ukraine and other partner states in a very vulnerable position. So I'm not saying that that the EU should have played geopolitics. No, not at all. But I think that it should have been much better prepared for Russia's coercion and aggressive action. And it was very naive to think that, you know, that it was not possible, and continue emphasizing things that there is no confrontation. Although Russian rhetoric is somewhat aggressive, it's only for the domestic audience, but in real life, you know, there is no confrontation. So, so I mean, it was wishful thinking, unfortunately, and this is where we are now. But I think that the big question now is, how can the EU, and I think can it, to begin with, become more strategic actor in the region? And with Kristi, we are insisting that geopolitics are not back, and the EU does not have to accept Russian premises in the region. It can, and it should, really hold its own norms and values dear, but it should also be more strategic in its way of acting in the region. So I think that the, for example, the EU's global strategy is a good example how the thinking within the EU is now changing. The global strategy emphasizes resilience within the Union, but also resilience of its partner states. And I think this is an excellent first step. And now the challenge is really to move from words to deeds and really reflect those principles and aims on the very practical level in the field. And I think where we really need to do some rethinking, and also this is also a process that has already started, I think gradually from at least from 2008 onwards, but I think now even more, I think is the fact that EU should address security issues in the region directly, and not only indirectly, like for example by helping with institutional reforms and building beneficial economic relations and so on, but it should really have a security actorness in the region. And of course this is already happening because it has become much more involved in the region, and also much more involved in the conflict resolution processes. And I think that since the US is clearly indicating that this is not one of its primary strategic interest areas, this also reflects on the EU, that it really has to start developing a stronger role. But of course, I mean, even in future, it is key to cooperate with the US and coordinate policies and work together. I mean, it's not either or question, obviously not, but I think we should do that together. But in order to achieve all this, of course, we go back to the unity and resilience of the Union itself. And I think it will be a great challenge, but hopefully, through many crises, we will get the European Union there. Thank you.